This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, December 22nd. I'm Gavin Dahl. The Ridgeway Town Council has voted to give the Uncompahgre River its own legal rights. Ouray County Plain Dealer reports a resolution passed last week is symbolic and non-binding. The resolution doesn't affect water rights or other state laws governing the waterway. However, it includes strong language asserting the town council's role in protecting the Uncompahgre, its tributaries, and the watershed to the full extent of its ability and opposing harm to the river. The prestigious Colorado Center for the Blind in Littleton is accused of covering up sexual misconduct and abuse spanning at least two decades. Charges surfaced during an internal investigation of the school's parent organization, the National Federation of the Blind. The Colorado Sun reports allegations were made public in a report released in June by a special committee investigating misconduct claims. The findings bolstered the accounts of eight people associated with the center who told the Sun that leadership at the world-renowned school covered up sexual offenses for years. Allegations of sexual misconduct began surfacing publicly in 2017 in the wake of the Me Too movement. Late last year, 500 current and former members and their supporters sent a letter to the Federation of the Blind Board of Directors and National Blindness Professional Certification Board calling out toleration of sexual abuse. National Federation of the Blind President Mark Riccobono responded to the open letter with an apology published on the organization's website. He has vowed to partner with RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest Network, to create anti-harassment training programs for the Federation's members and students, as well as a survivor task force to issue recommendations on policies and oversight. They are interviewing accusers and extending a reporting window for complaints. The Biden administration has named Casey Becker the Environmental Protection Agency's regional administrator for Region 8, which includes Colorado, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Utah, Wyoming, and 28 tribal nations. Becker recently completed four terms in the Colorado legislature, culminating as Speaker of the House. She led Democrats to their biggest majority in the legislature in over 50 years, becoming the first majority female legislative chamber in the country. Previously, Casey Becker served 4 years on Boulder's City Council. Republican State Representative Ron Hanks is suing Secretary of State Jenna Griswold as part of an effort to undertake a third-party audit of the 2020 election. Colorado Newsline reports the lawsuit was filed Thursday, claiming election system software used in Colorado's 64 counties was improperly certified, that the Secretary of State's office illegally destroyed election records, and that Griswold exceeded her authority when adopting emergency rules to prevent the kind of audit then occurring in Arizona. Griswold responded, she, quote, will not be deterred from upholding the duties of my office by those who seek to undermine confidence in our election system or suppress the right to vote. Hanks has entered the race for the U.S. Senate. Senator Michael Bennett shared a statement Friday cheering the passage of the Build Back Better Act in the U.S. House. He commented, quote, the Build Back Better Act will make the largest investment ever to fight climate change and protect America's forests. It will make childcare more affordable and preschool more available to millions of families across Colorado and the country, and it will continue the child tax credit that has supported over 90% of kids in our state. Democrats don't expect any GOP votes. Increasing student access to after-school nutrition programs could be key to helping kids overcome education and health obstacles created by COVID disruptions. From Colorado News Connection, Eric Galatis has more.
Colorado was able to increase student participation in after-school nutrition programs in 2020, even during school closures, according to new data from the Food Research and Action Center. Crystal Fitzsimons with the group says programs work best when they combine healthy snacks and suppers with engaging activities, and Colorado providers helped keep students' education path open when they pivoted to curbside pickup and other creative ways to deliver meals.
They were doing virtual either activities or they were sending activities home with families to do, and so they were trying to support educational enrichment at a time when so many kids were experiencing learning disruptions.
Colorado improved its national ranking for connecting kids with after-school nutrition programs from 41st to 16th. Still, researchers found that students in low-income households and in communities of color were disproportionately impacted when schools closed and educators struggled to regroup online. As the nation moves forward, Fitzsimons says after-school suppers and activities can play an important role helping students overcome significant educational and health impacts of the pandemic. She says working parents can also benefit from the peace of mind mind knowing their kids are in a safe space.
The hours between 3 and 6, that is actually the time when kids are most likely to get in trouble, to engage in risky behaviors. So keeping kids in safe enrichment environments during that time is critical.
Schools and community sponsors were able to connect an additional 37,000 students per day on average with after-school suppers compared to 2019. Nearly 1.5 million low-income children received meals through after-school nutrition programs during last year. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
In the midst of the pandemic, small businesses received loans in record numbers. The Small Business Administration delivered $44.8 billion in funding to small businesses nationwide. Over $1 billion of that came to Colorado. KBNF's Kate Redmond has more.
The Small Business Administration in Colorado approved over 2,000 loans last year worth nearly $1.4 billion. This is an increase of over 30% in total loan approvals and nearly 60% in total loan dollars approved compared to last year. It is the largest amount ever processed by the SBA's Colorado District Office. I asked Frances Padilla, District Director of the U.S. SBA Colorado District Office, why she believes this massive increase was successful.
I think there are a couple of different contributing factors. One, we have the most awesome spirit of entrepreneurship in Colorado anyway, but we know we went through a kind of a difficult economic downturn related to COVID. So the SBA, through various pieces of federal legislation, were authorized to incentivize some of our core programs to try to get not just working capital, but all kinds of capital that small businesses need back into the economy. So I think that does help the number of loans and the dollars that were approved in Colorado, in the nation in general, but definitely in Colorado.
The SBA Colorado District Office incentivized traditional and microloans with numbers that inspired small businesses to follow through on applications in unprecedented volumes. Here again is Frances Padilla.
A couple of years ago, under the CARES Act, there were a number of incentives that were kind of tied to new approvals under our traditional programs, not just our economic disaster relief programs. Normally, we have guarantee percentages on our guarantee programs that range from 50% to maybe 85%. What we did was we set all of the guarantees for the non-express programs at 90%. And then also, we had fee waivers. For the last couple of years, there's normally a one-time fee that a borrower pays, and then there are servicing fees that lenders pay for ongoing SBA loans. We waived those so that we could make this a little bit more affordable for people who needed to come to us for core money, not disaster money.
The disaster relief money includes programs like the Paycheck Protection Program, Restaurant Revitalization Fund, COVID Economic Injury Disaster Loan, and Shutter Venue Operators Grant to the tune of $1.1 trillion in COVID-related relief since the start of the pandemic. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl.